Call to order the regular meeting of the Finance Committee of the Town of Discovery Bay. Could I get roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken. Let the record reflect that all members are present.
Great. This is, we welcome any of you that are on the phone, listening in and wanting to participate. So this would be the time for public comment. This is the time when, if you have something that you would like to comment on that is relevant to the Finance Committee, and it's not an agendized item, then I would invite you to speak and let us know what it is and state your case or state your view at this time. Is there anybody on the phone, anybody that wants to say hi, anybody that wants to say anything about non-agendized items? Okay. Hearing none. We don't have any way to know if it's only broad, only our legal team knows when people are on and off the phone. We don't have any way of knowing if anybody's on the phone.
Not under this system.
Okay. But this system's going away.
Correct.
Okay. I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the last two meetings.
I'll make a motion.
And I will second it. All those in favor, aye. Minutes have been approved. Financial update.
No update.
No updates. Okay. Item one, review and discuss draft financial policy.
Good afternoon.
Hey, what's happening?
The financial policy. In your packets, you'll see the draft of our financial policy. We've spent probably the last 8 or 9 months working on this in between other tasks. I was able to go to other districts, such as Groveland Community District, Grizzly Flats District, City of Vista, and use our own existing policies to come up with our policy.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Julie. Can I ask that, since you are more than 12 feet from anybody else while you're at the microphone, that you could take off your mask so I can hear you better, because you're really muffled? Is that okay?
It's acceptable to her.
Is it okay with you?
Yes.
Okay. It just helps to hear better. And we are definitely social distance, so I think we're taking all the precautions we need. Thank you.
Policy. Here's our first draft. It has been reviewed by the town staff. As previously stated, we worked on three other jurisdictions. I pulled some of their financial policies. They were Groveland Community District, Grizzly Flats, and the City of Vista. I received tips to use their policies from our legal team. I also have used existing town policies to generate the current financial policy in front of you. This is the first step for the Treasury to come under local control. And I'm here to answer any questions. And the process after this will be to go to legal, get legal's approval, and then go to the full board. So what I ask of you today is if you have any questions or any concerns, and be aware that this will be going to the board of directors probably before another finance committee.
Brian, do you have any specific questions?
No, I read through when I first got the agenda package, and it looks like you did a nice comprehensive job.
So I agree, and there's a lot to try to grasp, but my question for you is how much of this did a good portion of this policy exist prior to the creation of this specific document? In other words, were these in another area of our, or do we have these policies in place prior to the establishment of this?
Some of them were. It was probably, if I had to guess, I'd say maybe about a 50-50.
Really?
This is a little bit more comprehensive. Same example of who's going to open the mail, those kind of items. We're not in our current policies. But in here, it's actually just a little bit more comprehensive.
Was any guidance given to us by anybody at the county? Because I know that the ultimate goal is to be able to provide this comprehensive policy to the county to say, hey, we're willing and able to take over the funds. Am I correct?
Yeah, and it was a requirement from our legal team. The county did not give me any direction. They knew I was writing it with our legal team, and the legal team is the one that gave me the other jurisdictions to look at as
Okay, so the guidance started with New Miller and Beardsley then? And then they kind of guided you in which direction to go and what things to focus on and what parts needed to be mandatorily included to make sure we cover all our bases?
Yes.
Very good.
And we've also had our auditors have reviewed it too.
They have already?
Yes, they have. And they've signed up on it.
Great. That's really...
Informally, they've been signed up on it.
Well, it's a draft. Yeah. Nothing's formal yet. And again, reviewing it, there's a lot of stuff here. But it seems extremely comprehensive and detailed, and I think you've done a really good job with that. And hopefully it'll breeze through the legal department, and we'll come back to us. So I would entertain a motion to recommend that the Town of Discovery Bay Community Service District's financial policy be recommended to the board that it be adopted.
Before I second that, I just have one quick question for, has any other staff reviewed this?
Mike has reviewed it, and Dina has reviewed it. So, and Leslie on my staff has reviewed it.
And we're going to send it to the legal one more time before it goes to the board.
A lot of eyes have seen it, that perfect.
This has been a walkthrough process with the legal team, though, correct?
No, they have not
they
seen it.
They haven't seen it yet. Okay.
They have not seen it yet.
So
and
maybe we're premature in approving, but the draft's not going to come back to us before it goes to the board? It doesn't need to. I'm just asking.
I don't think so.
Okay. Pending approval. Let me withdraw my motion and make another motion. Did you want to say something, or you want me to go?
I was just going to say.
Let me make a new motion. I would make a motion that, barring any drastic changes to the policy as seen here, or any inefficiencies that are found by our legal team, that the policy move forward to the board to be accepted as a recommendation from the financial committee. That's my motion.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So we approve all your hard work and we thank you for it. And I don't anticipate that there's going to be any major structural changes. I mean, I can understand a little semantics here and there. That's not a big deal. But unless they come back and say, hey, you're way off base, then let's move forward. Okay? Item 2, discussion regarding the unaudited financials.
In your packet, you will see the FY 2020-2021 unaudited financial statements. This is our first look at the whole fiscal year. Please be advised that, as always, no amortization or depreciation has been booked. These are unaudited. And I've also included the detailed financials for your review. So I'd like to take just a couple minutes and point out a couple items and answer any questions that you may have. I'll start here on page 3 with the water department. The water department ended the year down at the bottom, net revenue over expenditures, favorable at this point to our budget. Our revenue was favorable by $442,000, with the majority of that being water usage over budget, $214,000 more revenue than we budgeted. Down to expenses.
Are you on the right page? Are you tracking?
I'm on page 6 right now, is that correct?
You're on page 3.
A three of what? Your present?
I got it.
Several 3 pages.
Yeah. Is there 3 on all of them?
3 of the presentation.
The water is the first one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not in the right place.
I think it's page 5 in your packet. That says page 5 of the actual
audited
financials.
Stop.
Oh, back here?
Yep.
Go. So what was everything that I hadn't gotten through yet before this?
Are you talking about this, Julie? Page.
No.
That's the page I was on. Because yeah. That's got the one that's got $422,000 on. You're talking about your summary presentation. Page 3 also has a...
Yeah.
And page 3 is one?
That's page 3.
Not the detail, the summary financials.
That's
and it says
4.
3 down in the corner.
Okay, got it.
Okay. Sorry for any confusion.
Well, what... Okay, time out. We have 18 or 20 pages prior to that.
Those are the detailed financials. These are the summary financials.
Okay, there we go.
And what I've done is created the summary financials and then the detail. In the packet, they probably should have been reversed.
That's okay. I'm just, I'm with you. I just found the page that had $422,000 on it, and thought that was the page you were on.
Okay. All right.
So I was on the details, you're on the summary. Go ahead.
All right. So for water, as I mentioned earlier, we're favorable in revenue. We're unfavorable in expenses versus budget. And as in previous reviews, that is regarding on our consulting budget and it's and our repair and maintenance budgets. Both of those items we've overspent on the consulting expense, which is the second line. We have some items that were planned in capital that needed to be coded to the expense, and that is for the urban water plan and the OWEA plan. More and the water asset management plan. So normally we have all these projects and they get budgeted in capital, and there's a few of them that we have to put over into the P&L, so it kind of changes how things go, and we've talked about those in previous reviews. The other item that has been heavy on our budget has been the repairs and maintenance and the construction material repairs and supplies. Both of those we have overspent. Yeah. As we've spoken about all year, we've hit many, many repairs more than we thought.
So I think I know what construction material repairs and supplies. I'm not stuttering. It actually says supplies. What is that?
The gravel, the asphalt, and water meters are all in that line. And any other construction.
Well, then what's in repairs and maintenance?
The actual labor.
Okay. Go ahead. And before we leave page three, though, I have some questions. I interrupted you. Did you have more on that?
No.
Okay. So a couple things jump out at me. I don't want to use the word concern because it's not like, oh my gosh, but it's kind of like, okay, so things that are interesting to me,
okay.
How we can be 89% of employee expense. I guess that's because people quit or we laid off. We didn't pay people that were in the original budget.
There's two items. We budget at the top step, the top level of salary expense. And we did have some positions that were not filled during the year. So it's
okay.
A combination of the two for water.
Makes sense.
Water.
Understand consulting expenses. We kind of ran through that every meeting.
Yep.
As they came up.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. And the unfortunate part is the overruns are on large numbers and the underruns are on small numbers, so they don't compensate for each other very well. Water service contract, is that Veolia?
Yeah, and Veolia.
Why would we be over? I mean, we have a contract with them. Why would we be 10% over?
On some of the repairs and the pass-through expenses, again, having to do more repairs than we had previously budgeted for. The contract is pretty much right on. It's just a few thousand dollars off.
My input on that, and just from my background, but also just remember I'm just a layman. I'm just saying stuff. I'm not being hypercritical here. But it seems to me that should always be 100%. And if there was repairs and stuff, it should be in the category of repairs. But I may be wrong, depending on how you guys do your accounting. I don't know your system. But but that's what it looks like from this side.
Yeah, I was asked a couple meetings ago to put all the Veolia expenses into two lines.
There you have it. It's probably the same idiot that's criticizing the way you did it. So let's just move on.
Okay.
Utilities, I'm happy to see that number. Because a lot of times our electrical goes over, right? Isn't this all part of that stuff? So if we're only at 104%, that means we budgeted that number pretty doggone good. I'm really happy about that. Repairs and maintenance, I understand. Boy, that's a tough pill, but part of that's material costs and other things that we didn't anticipate what the cost would be. We had no way of knowing this is July, so when we were approving the budget in March of last year or May of last year, for this year, we didn't know what those material costs were going to be, and everything's been escalated, so I guess that makes sense. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, and last year we did didn't order as many meters. We had, we ordered more meters when we could get them. And those are the meters that we replaced. Because remember, residents pay their account charge. And if a meter breaks, we have to go out and replace the meter.
We don't own the meter. They do.
No, we own the meter.
Have we had many failures with the meters
that we
swapped out?
I don't have an exact number, but we keep an inventory of them, and Aaron goes out when the meters do, when there is a problem, and we have a stock.
Are these meters that were in the, such as Lakes, Lakeshore, and Centex that had meters already there that are being replaced, or the new meters that went in on this project just 4 or 5 years ago being replaced?
I do not have an answer to that. I may look to assistant.
Do we know?
Our manager, Dina, did you know?
I'm sorry. Repeat the question.
I would hope that these aren't replacing the meters that were installed 4 or 5 years ago, that these are Lakes and Lakeshore meters.
Yeah.
That are...
So some of Centex homes, they were still on the other meters.
Right.
We have not completely replaced all the meters in town with a new Badger meter.
Gotcha.
Everything on this side of town is fine. The other side of town, and new development. So when a new house gets built, we actually purchase the meter and we install it and we charge them for it. So.
I want to hit the mute button and ask a question. I can't. I'll ask it later. I'll ask it later.
So Aaron does keep an inventory of meters because when they do fail, we need to get.
So we keep a stock. I think we knew we were going to have to do that. We got them stored someplace, right? So why are we at 56% of debt service? Shouldn't we know what our debt is? I mean, shouldn't we know what it costs us to carry our debt?
That was a budgeting error between water and wastewater. Wastewater's okay. The other way.
Everything else, like I said, wonderful. We're at 50% of legal. Well, that's such a small number that doesn't help us a whole lot, but we'll take it. So looks good, and it sounds like it makes sense. So we're basically, even though we brought in 109%, we're 13% over budget. I don't know if that even means anything the way I'm saying it, but did that just come out of reserves or what? Our expenditures were over our revenue by...
We're over our
budgeted expenditures.
Yes, but our revenue was over. So,
but not the same amount. So we had a shortage of our estimated budget, right?
No, our budget.
What am I reading wrong?
Our budget in the second column. If you look at the last line, we submitted that we would have $1,300,000.
Oh, I'm sorry, 104. I'm sorry, I was reading the bottom number. My bad. Forget it. Move on.
You're good.
I wasn't reading the right line.
If there's no questions on water, let's move to wastewater.
I'm so Brian. Did you have any?
No.
Okay.
Wastewater is a little simpler in its financial structure. Wastewater too currently is favorable with net revenue over expenditures.
And just. So I don't screw up again. That's 97 over 83, right? Percentage-wise? 97% revenue, 83% expenses.
Yes.
Okay.
I had to keep up with what you're doing. Sorry. Revenue was $6.2 million on a budget of $6.4 million. Differences there are coming through on the county zone, vehicle reimbursement, and payroll reimbursement. And what we've done with those throughout the year, we've hit an accounting change. Instead of recording reimbursements as revenue, we are recording them as an offset to expense.
Got it. Makes sense.
Okay. All right. And then we had a little miscellaneous revenue with the PG&E for the dewatering during the year. Any questions on revenue?
No, but I like that. That's a much more accurate way of reporting it.
Thank you. Expenses. In wastewater, our expenses were $4 million on a budget of $4.8 million. We were favorable on expenses. Some of that is from the budgeting, and I will get into the first one, which is on the employee expenses. We're 69%. of our budget. Again, part of that is we do budget at top step. We did have a few openings, but I also, instead of reporting the revenue for the reimbursements for payroll, I credited down to the expense. So when we previously we would have revenue and expense, now I've put it all through the expense, so we have the exact expense.
So that's kind of offsetting that reduction in the amount of that we anticipated for revenue and reimbursables now gets picked up at the other end down on expenses.
Yes.
Okay.
And next year the budget will match that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it out to you for any questions on the expenses.
Let me look here. That's funny though. It's kind of interesting to look at the two. Okay. Do you have anything, Brian?
Okay. All right, so let's go to the next page, which will be zoning. Where's water and wastewater had a very minimal impact of COVID-19. Zone 8, unfortunately, had a larger impact, an impact to the community. But let's go. With the community center closed, there was no program fees that came in, but along with that, there were no expenses for part-time staff. With the pool not open, there was also no charges for the excess utilities, chemicals, and labor of lifeguards that are required for the pool. With this said, at the end of the year for Zone 8, net revenue over expenditures was $215,000 on a budget of $19,000. For revenue, we were $884,000 on a budget of $819,000. Have any questions on revenue?
What?
Yes.
Hold on. Why? Did we change the process, or why are we at 327% of vehicle reimbursement for revenue? I'm trying to figure out how we got to 884 from 819. From a budget of 820, we ended up at 885, basically.
There was an accounting change there for the $46,000. Previously, that would sit in wastewater until the accountants got here, and they would move it. This year, I worked with the accountants and moved it prior, so we had a more accurate number.
So going forward, that's going to look a lot different. And then obviously the $42,000 of donation for pickleball and Veolia, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
As previously stated on the expense side, for the employee expenses, our employee expenses were down. They were down. We had no part-time staff, with the exception, I think, of a couple people that may have started at the end of June. We also took this time and had the landscape crew work more on projects in Zone 8 and get Zone 8 some deferred maintenance and mm-hmm. other things done in Zone 8.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a one-for-one that we saved every penny that we didn't spend on the lifeguards and the part-time staff. Again, with repairs and maintenance, board had made decisions to spend any carryover from the previous year to beautify and deal with deferred maintenance in Zone 8. The budget was prepared with the pool being open, and so there were some other savings there since the pool did not open.
Wow. It's such an anomaly, it's almost hard to analyze, you know?
Yes.
Okay.
Just trying to keep our eye on spending and revenue so we're sure
that it's
out of whack.
Hey.
All right.
It is what it is.
So nine. Revenue is pretty predictable. Expenses, we were once again favorable to our budget. But we did have a couple overspends, and they were related to, again, deferred maintenance and the Ravenswood play structure. Otherwise, we ran pretty close.
Hold on.
Yeah, sometimes the percentages make the numbers look
massively. I got to stop looking at the percentages. I mean, at a glance, I like to look and see, you know, what's working and what's not, but then I have to go back and look at the numbers and see whether it's even relevant. It's kind of interesting that our utilities will seem to be down across the board. I wonder why. I'm happy. I'm glad, but I don't understand it. But.
Well, some of it has been in the. We have three utilities. We have the watering for water, for PG&E, and for waste management. I know Bill this last year has tried to watch on some of the waste management. I will double check that number for you, but I just want to make clear that there were three items.
Okay.
We were storing some of our waste over there in anticipation of the firebox, and so that pile built up. We now bought the firebox, and so now they're getting rid of the waste.
Are they doing that on a regular basis? How's that working out?
It's working out great.
Is it?
Yeah.
We're getting almost zero residuals out of that, right? I think it just burns it up.
It creates a fertilizer mix. So we use the ash for, you know, fertilizer if necessary.
You know, that's, I don't know about you, but we hear about these things, we talk about it, we approve it, it goes into service, and then we forget to follow. We forget to ask. I mean, I forgot about the firebox until you just mentioned it, and that was a pretty big deal at the time that we did it. It seemed like a really good idea. It's nice to know that it's working effectively. I'm hoping that we're going to hear the same thing about the back truck and the other truck and all the other things that we're approving.
Where's the waste budget for Zone A water, wastewater? It's a very small amount, but Zone 9, it's small, and it does move it a little bit. You know, $2,000-$3,000 does move that number.
Yeah. Okay.
I just had a quick question on the expenses.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've asked this question before, but I'm going to ask it again.
Okay.
So for the employee expenses, whether it's Zone 8 or Zone 9, we bill at the same rate, though, correct? One zone doesn't pay more than another zone?
That is correct. For Zone 8 and 9, yes, they are the same.
Is it different for other zones, then?
All the pay rates, yes, it is, for the special zones to the county. There's a different rate.
You're talking a rate, though, not total number. You're talking about just the rate that we charge.
Rate, exactly.
Okay, all right. Because obviously Zone 8 it's a larger zone.
Yes. If you pay $10 an hour in Zone 8,
you pay $10
an hour
in Zone
9.
Okay.
Yes. Same price.
It seems to be a favorite question. Is there a reason for that? Why?
So back to water, and I think why that number is so high, we bought the new readers, correct? Is that what's in that number? No, it's not.
The new readers?
It's not. The water meter, where'd you put those?
It's not. It was only $73,000 to Badger. There may be a small amount in there. The readers were $300,000.
Okay, and we put them under capital?
I have not received them yet.
Oh, yeah, right.
You talk. Now that you've opened that can of worms, explain to me what you're talking about. What the new readers that for where? Why do we?
All over town. So we're updating. Remember we updated.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that's my other committee. Yeah. Okay. Let me get in the right committee. We're gonna upgrade those to make them more efficient, so they read better and the whole bit.
And the warranty stretched it out.
And they stretched. They gave us a deal on it. Said we'll give you X amount of years if you buy them now. And we got a deal on them. We bought them cheap, and we hope that's the right decision.
That was a couple years ago, wasn't it?
It wasn't quite a couple years ago, but it was last year.
We just did it. Yeah. We just did it like what?
June or May or June.
Just a couple months ago.
Apparently June.
We just did the order again.
Yeah, but we approved this about 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah.
It got to committee at 4 or 5 months ago, I think. Okay.
Okay, sorry. I thought that was
okay.
What was in there.
I appreciate the help.
Okay, and the rest of this is all just back up to that summary you gave us. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Just a couple more items. I've been in contact with our auditing firm, Croce Sanguinetti and Vanderveen, and our audit will begin in December 2021, tentatively on December 6th. We hope to have all field work done before the end of the year. Once again, these were preliminary financials. There will be some changes. I won't be bringing them back to the board unless they are material. And the next time that you see the FY 2021 financials, unless requested by you, will be when they're the audited financials next winter.
Okay.
Is that okay?
So when we do the audit, do we file that with anybody?
Yes. Yes.
Who do we file that with?
With
the state?
State Controller's Office.
Okay.
And it's due the last day of January. I believe it's January 31st.
So it's basically 6 months after the end of the fiscal year is due.
Seventh month.
That's
seventh
the month. Transactional, the summary accounts, and then there's a filing after that that they give the completed audited financials.
Did this have anything to do with the city of Bell when these things all became implemented, or was this just always the process?
I believe it's by law that
it's always been that way. It's just whether or not they do it or not.
But I can't say that for sure.
No, okay. I'm just curious how that works. Okay.
Because there's a different reporting system for municipalities.
Absolutely.
Right. And yeah. And so this one is actually carved out for special districts.
Right. I got you. Okay. All right, thank you. Anything else?
That is
Brian, do you have anything?
Yep.
Okay, thanks, Julie. And item three. Is there anybody there? Because I missed that, because nobody said anything the first time around. Let me ask if there's anybody out there that has any questions. I was just assuming that nobody's on the phone. Anybody there? Okay, I'll keep asking. Item three. Which is,
It's Julie again.
Yes.
Just wanted to give you an update on the Treasury move. As earlier stated, we've got the financial policy that's in place, and that will be in the final stages. Hopefully, I'll be able to get that turned around from legal within a few weeks. We will have a resolution that I will write, and I will be bringing that to the board. I will have to work with Mike and General Manager Davies to see if that needs to come to the committee before it goes to the board. Again, we'll be opening the new bank account. I've been in contact with BAC Bank. They're all ready for us to come down there. The board will and management will have to go down and sign the new signature card.
Again.
Yeah.
Please do that all the time anyway. is this moving along pretty smooth? We're not getting any pushback. County's happy to do it.
No, I reached out to Bob Campbell, and he gave me two people on his staff to work with. I actually spoke with one of them yesterday, and he took down a list of questions, and I'm going to work with his coworker. The only thing that I found out, and I'm going to tell you guys this, I've already informed General Manager, Assistant General Manager, is the one thing that we lose when we go away from the county is the ability to advance. And it's to advance on our current year property tax. We currently have never done that as far as Gina and I can tell. And what that is...
What do you mean?
Okay, so I'm going to make up a little numbers. We have $1 million in taxes coming our way.
Okay.
It gets paid to us in December or April for the most part. If your money is being held by the county, you can advance some of that money that's coming in April earlier. So you can almost get a cash advance from the county. Small jurisdictions probably need to do that.
But don't we have reserves to do that same function with?
Yeah. We have reserves.
No, we don't need to do this.
Okay.
It's just,
but we lose that ability, and I need to inform the committee.
I think that's just a mere technicality. We've set it up with all of our different reserve funds and our capital improvement reserve funds and all the reserve funds that you set up years ago, Dina, will take that same function, and so I don't think we're going to create any issues.
Yeah, I don't either. I just thought it was important enough. We probably should let you know in case anybody else had brought it up.
I appreciate that.
Senses my stress.
That's good. Well, you were looking for a cash advance. Now you can't get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, thank you. That's the only technicality you can come up with at this point that looks like it's going to change anything, or that it could have an effect.
Yeah, That is correct. My suspicion, in my experience from moving banks and doing things in other parts of my career, it's been a long time happening, but when we pull the trigger, it's going to happen fast. And staff is getting prepared to handle and start paying all of our bills here.
I believe there's some approval that needs to be done by the Board of Supervisors as well.
Yes. It'll probably be a consent calendar item, though, right?
I went to the wrong page. And once we get the resolution approved by the board, we'll need to reach out to Leah, and it'll be on a consent calendar for the board.
Will this come as a recommendation by the county finance, Bob Campbell and his crew? Will it come as a recommendation from them to the Board of Supervisors? Well, are they going to recommend this change? Or do they do
I
that?
The committee asked me last time if I knew anybody that had brought their money out of the treasury. I was speaking with Chris yesterday at the county. I found out that East Contra Costa County Fire has. So I have been emailing back and forth with the financial manager over there. We're scheduled to talk tomorrow, and I'll ask her exactly how the process went, and I'm going to try to get a copy of their resolution. I couldn't find it readily on the website. But he said they recently. I don't know exactly what recently means, and he wasn't sure exactly when, but he said that was the last one that came up to his thing. And so I'll get more information from her on the process. But from as far as I was told from...
The money gets collected December 11th and April 11th, as I recall, or whatever, because that's when I pay my bill, is December 10th and April 10th, because I won't give them the money any sooner than I have to. So does the money immediately get transferred to us, or, we have to deal with real money.
Yeah.
So how does that work?
They will continue to receive the monies, and four times a year, which are October is a very small one, December, April, and then a very small one in June, we can set up how our funds are received. And the funds will, they said yesterday, it was quite amusing, they said they would send us a check, and I'm like, no, we're going to set up wires to have the wires
over here.
So there may be a day or two of a delay, but we don't live off the incoming tax roll. You know, we have reserves. We can afford to have some timing if it takes even a week, even a month, which it shouldn't. We are able to withstand.
It should be faster than it was before, shouldn't it? Because we don't have to make the request. It should be an automatic thing. It's not their money, it's ours.
Once they get the tax roll, and once they do the disbursement to all the 200 funds that are under the county, if you are with the county treasurer, it's pretty much a journal entry. It goes right in your account. It's there. We will be outside of it, so we'll have to wait for another interaction. It'll either be a check. Well, it won't be a check.
It'll be a drive.
It'll be a wire. And there may be a little delay before they get it to the wire department.
Okay. But you've looked at that, anticipated that, and seen that that's not going to be an issue. It's not going to put us in a cash flow bind.
It's not going to put us in a bind.
Okay.
Not at all.
All right. Very good.
And as far as the residents are concerned, completely transparent to them. There's no change whatsoever.
The only difference is that we save money, right?
Well, it's not so much that we're going to save money. We're going to have control over our money, and we're going to save in processes. Remember, the county does, so far, we cannot find that the county charges us to cash check or to write our checks. They do charge us to process the tax roll. And they're still going to be processing the tax roll.
Our advantage is expediency, being able to immediately deal with our money, not 30-day turnarounds and 45-day turnarounds, etc. And we're in control of our own funds rather than going through that middleman process, which creates delays, and it sometimes creates problems with our vendors who want 30-day turnarounds, and we can't even guarantee that we can do that.
So let me give you an example, and you tell me if I'm thinking about this correct. There's been times in the past where the board members have been, hey, you got to get down here and sign a transfer, because Veolia wants their money so we can get a 210 net 30 or something like that, right? And we've had to come down. We haven't had to do it lately, though, but at least I haven't gotten a call to do it, but we used to. I remember...
We also changed signatures, so we've added...
Oh, that's right.
Dina and I to the
that's
signature
right.
process.
That helps, too. But that's what you're talking about. We no longer have to... think far enough ahead to and I imagine just out of function, there's been times when we've missed discounts we could have taken because we haven't been able to get the money in time. That'll never happen again.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Very good. So in the long run, we're being more efficient, and maybe we're going to save a little money.
Well, the efficiencies are where your savings is going
to be. Okay. All right. Item four. CCC.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Monica.
Hey, Monica.
Is there any public comment on any of that discussion? Sorry. I don't think there's anybody there, but I asked. Go ahead.
It's okay. I'm going to give you a report for Phil about the California Conservation Corps and Landscaping Services. So, as you are aware, the landscape crew has been down one employee for the entire year. We went through a hiring process and hired a new member, but ultimately it wasn't a good fit for either party. In an effort to get as much out of our limited resources, we met with the California Conservation Corps, which is a state program where the Corps hires 18 to 25-year-old young adults to engage in community beautification and natural resource projects. They are exempt from prevailing wage requirements, which is wonderful. We met with them in regards to another project and decided to inquire about landscaping maintenance services for mowing, detailing, shrub work, everything that we do at our parks. And they came back with an annual proposal of $49,850 annually to maintain the parks, which would be the Community Center, Cornell, Slifer, Ravenswood, and Regatta. There is also flexibility so that when we don't need so much mowing in the winter months, they can work on other projects, streetscaping, any installation jobs we have, that kind of thing. Due to the fact that it takes one of our employees 32 to 40 hours per week at an annual cost of $65,000 to mow and detail the parks without any shrub, tree, weed controls, etc., we would like to move forward with hiring the Corps for the maintenance aspects of our parks instead of hiring another landscape crew member. So we would like to bring a contract with the scope of services to the August 18th Board of Directors meeting.
Have these guys started already, though?
Yeah, they did. They started some work on Bixler, down closer to Old River, that section, and doing quite well.
But without a contract?
We have a separate contract, so we use Zone 61 funds to subcontract with them, and this is how we begin to ferret out a more in-depth program.
Got it.
Kind of a pilot program, I think.
But this falls under that maximum dollar amount, so it's not a problem, right? It's like contracting.
Correct.
We contracted that guy. Okay.
Okay.
Just as a point of curiosity, going to the dog park the other day, I own a couple of dogs, you might not know that. I was going to the dog park the other day, and I ran into a kid who was doing the weed whacking along the tennis courts right here. So I stopped and said hi to him, introduced myself, said, hey, I'm on the board of directors, I don't think I know you. And he says, well, I worked as a temp. This is dumb question. Anyway, I worked as a temp here, and then they hired somebody full-time, and I guess maybe that didn't work out or something because they brought me back as a temp. That's what you're talking about.
Yes. So
is he going? Will he be going away? I don't know the kid. I'm just asking. So he's going to go away, and we're not going to replace that full time position.
Correct.
What's the cost of that position with burden for the year?
It's approximately $65,000 to hire.
And does that's one person?
One.
Okay. Does that one person? And you might have said this, and I just may not have.
That's okay.
The crew, the way I understand it is there's a supervisor and a crew that's doing that work for $49,000.
Correct.
Because the kids are interns. I worked with CCC up at the fires all the time. I'm very familiar with CCC. They're interns, basically. They're learning a trade, a skill, and they're provided with work, and it's subsidized.
Yeah, they're learning a skill.
They're learning a career, if that's the, and a lot of them are real nature guys, really people that want to go work in the forest. They want to work for the U.S. Forest Service, or they want to work for Cal Fire or something like that. So most of them I ran into were great kids. I had dinner with them up at the fires and stuff. Really, really good crew. That's why it's so inexpensive. It's subsidized. Are we getting more work? Because that was for one person for 65. We're getting basically four people, or at least three workers for 49 or whatever. Are they able to do more work? Or is it because they're in training, they pretty much do the work of one person? Or are we actually... You see what I'm saying? It doesn't...
I think so. No, the beauty about...
Do you know
this
anything about
that?
Yes.
Is if we if this works out, and so far it is, they have equipment we can rent. We can actually hire them to do larger projects if we need to, because they have a supervisor that's with them at all times. The other beautiful thing about this, doing it this way, is Bill can actually give them direction. It's not going through a corporate office or somebody sitting in an office that's not actually here on site,
right,
seeing what's going right on. Bill can go out there and say, oh, you know what, I want this shrub, this tree lifted, I want...
Gotcha.
So he can give direction as well.
So just to piggyback on that, so typically the one person that would be assigned to each one of those parks is mowing. These crews will do actual park maintenance. They'll do tree trimming, shrubbery cutback. They'll do weeding. They will do fertilizing. We would have to pay extra for the fertilizer, those kinds of products that would come on.
But we'd be paying for that anyway.
Exactly. And we would actually need to use our crew to do the shrubbery and the cutbacks and the blows and all of this kind of stuff. So that's all included in this price.
And are they full time? Are they here 40 hours a week?
They are here Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
That should be enough to cover those parks. I do want to clarify one thing. When you have the lawn maintenance and the people, you know, I believe we're kind of the bottom rung, and they're only going to come in and do the parks during the seasons, during the weeks where you can actually employ some maintenance. So there's going to be some dormant times during the winter. What we are arranging in the contract. Just don't even come out. We're not going to pay you to do dormant work. But what we might do during that period is use those savings to hire kind of the next level up that's involved in streetscapes and things of that nature, some more sophisticated work.
Again, maintenance.
Use them around maintenance.
So let me, and a question where we've had some issues, and this may be a little offline, but part of maintaining the park is cleaning and maintenance of the bathroom facilities. Is that something they can do?
We have already hired janitorial to do the cleaning.
So we can't tie that into their contract?
No, they don't do that.
Okay, no, it makes sense because they're almost outside their element when they're doing parks because they're really more of a... Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, I just thought, because I know it's been an issue, that's all.
We thought about it, but
okay.
We've hired they've already started our janitorial, and I have to say on a scale of 1 to 10, they're up there 8, 9, 10.
Do you have
from
any
what we've seen so far.
Fine.
Yeah. So the $49,000 contract, it sounds like, though, there's other opportunities to tap into these guys for other things within. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, it would be a next level up. So actually what we're doing is we're paying them by the week. You know, it's a contract that's based on a weekly Monday through Thursday basis to do all the park maintenance. But during dormant times where, you know, we don't need to mow the lawn and do that, don't show up. We might be looking at that next crew to go do the other stuff
sure.
that we need them from.
I guess
that
the versatility is unbelievable. The fact that you can only hire them for a week at a time and say, okay, don't come next week, and they have to go find, either they don't work or they go find something else to do, but it's good. Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
That's great.
But it's going to take a lot of coordination on Bill's part.
And that's what we put in the contract, because I noticed on the original scope of work, it said we will maintain the lawns during the season except during dormant times or something like that. And I'm going, well, I'm not paying them to do nothing. So we changed the wording in there to say that we could direct them not to come for a particular week, and we would be credited for
that.
Okay. Well, not to jump too far ahead, though, but potentially can this be a different direction that we go with our entire landscaping staff?
Well, there's the issues of control. mean, anything could happen in, you know, baby steps.
Sure.
This is one bite out of the apple. They do need to be controlled. We are dealing with, as you say, interns. We don't know what problems that's going to come about. And having control over our own people in terms of some of the more sophisticated work may be something we want to retain for reasons that will become more apparent as this process matures.
Okay. Is there any potential liability issues for the town with these folks, or they carry their own?
There is a multiple, well, there's clauses within the contract regarding liability insurance that they'll maintain, as well as, you know, protecting each other against lawsuits, et cetera.
Did you bring your dog with you? great. Kudos to Bill. I wish he was here. Kudos to Bill and you, Monica, for putting this program together. What a find, I think, potentially. We'll know in 6 months whether it was a find or not. It might be more trouble than it's worth. I don't anticipate that, but, you know, we won't know until we work through it and see how the crews work out, see how pliable they are, and how well their supervisors are, because I think they're only going to be as good as their supervisors. So, great idea, and if it saves the town money and saves Zone 8 money, that's great. That's fantastic. Anything else?
Well, all the zones, really.
Huh?
All the zones.
All the zones, yeah. I forget about the other zones sometimes.
Zone 9 is a big one.
I don't want to live in Zone 8. What, you have anything else, Brian?
No.
All right, anything from the public? Okay.
Again, but I know we're running out of time, so I'll try and go through this really quickly.
You're on.
So this is regarding the synthetic turf update we wanted to give you. So in March of this year...
I'm sorry, did we need any action on that, or was that just informative?
That's information.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
So in March of this year, we had obtained an estimate for converting the pool decking area into synthetic turf, and that estimate came in at approximately $55,000. Then at a later Park and Rec Committee meeting, we presented some alternative options, concrete, Trex decking, or possibly a combination of all three, and decided to go with all synthetic turf. We went to bid on the project, and we estimated approximately $70,000, taking inflation into consideration since the original was at $55,000, and that was just a few months later. We had our bid opening at Bill and I on July 28th. We had seven people come to our job walk, and unfortunately, we only received two bids, one from Consolidated Engineering, which came in at just over $113,000, and G&G Builders, which was $166,000.
Sorry, go ahead. I'll
miss. That's okay. So that price is doubled what we expected. No one thought that was going to happen. So we've kind of tossed around some ideas. And, you know, consider waiting out the construction of the turf to see if inflation prices go down.
Why do you think only two out of seven responded?
Prevailing
wage and that type of thing, do you think?
What's that?
You think it was because of prevailing wage and that type of thing? Or?
I don't think so, because all those companies know that that's what we are. I make sure of that when I send them the NIB. But what we're finding in everything is people are so far booked out that they can't keep up with all the work on their books.
So they charge more because
they're taking less profitable jobs, probably.
Supply and demand.
Our thought was, if we want to put that on hold, which is one option, given we may not have a pool other than adult lap swimming this year, what we could do if we did that, and just trying to stay fiscally reasonable, what we could do is, if we do open for adult lap swimming, we could rope off the dirt area and lay out some, like, great landscape weed barrier, just to kind of keep that under control, see if pricing comes down, re-look at this in the winter months, or continue on with the bids we got. So we're looking for guidance.
Okay. I think that this is an item that is not going to be driven by the Finance Committee. I think that the Parks and Recs have probably looked at this. It's not in our budget, but I think that this is an item that's going to be decided by the entire board. Am I off base on this?
You're exactly correct.
Okay, so thank you for letting us know that. I think that, are we going to discuss that tonight? No.
We're giving an update tonight, and we're kind of looking for a general feel. And if through that, if and then we will see if we need to bring it back to the board for a later motion. It's on the agenda as a manager's update. So Andy may say the board can vote on it tonight, or it's something we may have to bring back more formally, depending.
I don't think it's an urgency if we have to vote on tonight.
Necessarily. Just to give you also one element that at the meeting with it, that Monica's talking about, we had a special Park and Recs Committee meeting. We asked Monica to go back towards the people who did bid, because originally we had some a very tight time frame of when we wanted the project completed, which might be impacting the cost that they're coming up with. And I think
here's
a minimum number of lines.
Expanding out to
here's my concern, Monica.
Your meeting. Press 1 to confirm. If there is no response, the conference will end.
No. Thank you. Monica, here's my concern. Because I hear about it out there personally, and I monitor it on certain social websites. My concern is the lack of progress that we have with the pool. It's just not going anywhere. I take Blair to the dog park at least once a week, and nobody's over there working. I mean, I did see a couple of guys there a couple of weeks ago with Orange Vest over here somewhere, but I don't see the pool getting finished. And I mean, I appreciate the coving's done and the tile's done, and that's a great update, but then nothing's happened since then, at least that I can see. I might be wrong, but the perception is nothing's happening, whether I'm right or wrong. And I don't understand why the pool's not getting completed. And I don't know why, and I don't know all the details, but I don't feel like it's being driven like it needs to be driven. I know there's roadblocks. I know that we got material issues. I know we got all these other issues, but I feel like it needs to be driven harder and something needs to be accomplished. The last thing we heard was we're going to try to open up at the end of summer. And that
September.
That's the end of summer, right? September?
Okay.
Is that still happening?
That's our plan, and I actually have a report to give at the board meeting.
Okay.
Well, we're winding down here, but we have some comprehensive expectation due dates, et cetera, that we will brief the board on.
It's very frustrating.
Equipment shed and the pool itself.
What would be more frustrating, and I think this is what Brian's point was, because we had a discussion about this, what would be more frustrating is if the pool got done and then all of a sudden the easy part wasn't done, like the landscaping, you know what I mean? So that would be pretty bad, I think, that if we open the pool up and then people are like, because it would just cause another uproar. And I'm not trying to be reactive to the 23 people that post on Nextdoor, and I don't care if you hear that, but it does, just because it's a bunch of complaining doesn't mean it's not valid complaining. And so I'm just sensitive to that. And I'm not blaming you, because I know you can't go out there and spray gunite, but I'm frustrated in the lack of progress with the pool. Because this goes back 3 years or something, right? And so I'm looking forward to that update.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Anything else?
Any
public comment on that? And if that doesn't get public comment, then we know nobody's on the phone. Okay. With that, I will adjourn the Financial Committee meeting.